KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Help us out on the fall membership drive and call 877-500-5266. Coming up in 15 minutes, stick around for Flashpoints. We've got Oliver Stone on the show today talking about a Vets for Peace gathering, as well as his experiences as a Vietnam vet and his new film on the life and times of NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. Then at 11 on Between the Covers, host David Damon speaks with iconic Oregon author Ursula K. Le Guin about the craft of writing. And then at 11:30, the film show will delve into Portland history with Tom Chamberlain's Pillars of Portland and into environmental activism with filmmakers Taggart Siegel and John Betts. That is all coming up this morning right after Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, which is up next on The Boo.
At the time of John Coltrane's death in the summer of 1967, he had revolutionized jazz with his innovative, demanding techniques, his depth, and his relentless devotion to his music. He was only 40 years old. Now, nearly 50 years later, he is one of the most dominant influences on post-1960 jazz and has inspired an entire generation of jazz musicians. This Friday, September 23rd, would have been the 90th birthday of John Coltrane, and at KBOO we are going to celebrate with an all-night marathon, including John Coltrane thank you gifts for those who call in to join KBOO before midnight. So join us this Friday night, September 23rd, beginning at 10 p.m. until 6 a.m. as we celebrate the 90th birthday of John Coltrane here on KBOO Portland.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, September 22nd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. We have a brief little dash through today's weather across Cascadia. We have patchy fog again. It's that tule fog that we get in the autumn. This is where the ducks and the geese hide. Though I have to say, my personal weather report, I saw one huge flock of geese this year, and that was it. I frequently welcome many, many different small to mid-sized flocks flying over with that cry that I associate with autumn skies. But this year, nothing at all. Something you notice in the country. Highs today around 16.9 and a southwest wind tonight. Patchy fog again and brisk, cold. Lows around 54. At least 54 has come to seem brisk and cold to us. For tomorrow, it's 50-50 with regards to rain and fog also accompanying that. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, highs near 61 and a south wind for tomorrow night. Chances of rain are diminishing, though the fog takes up the slack. And lows around 54, south winds, not really worth mentioning. So, yeah. Days, what we laughably think of as cool in the 60s, nights, again, a ridiculous idea that 54 is a chilly night. And the sad loss for me, at any rate, of the geese. That said, we have Steve Horn is joining us again. The Smart Blog has been one after another, bam, 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 producing these incredible investigative journalist stories. I have never seen anything like it, and now we have one relating to the Dakota Access Pipeline. Protests continue. There are people coming. We want more and more people. The Comanche sent one delegation, and then they're backing that up with another larger group of people coming to bring supplies. Now what's happening with the camps is a lot of people, there are ongoing protests and waiting verdict on the original decision regarding permits, the water permit, which is the final permit that the pipeline required. That's still in play, and protests continue. And meanwhile, in the background, a lot is going on. On September 9th, of course, that's when the administration revoked authorization for construction. But going back to May, the federal government quietly approved permits for two Texas pipelines, the Trans-Pecos and the Comanche Trail. They're owned by Energy Transfer Partners, and that's the name that we have come to associate now, of course, with the Dakota Access Pipeline. The action, in this case, and related moves ensure that the U.S. frack gas will be flooding the energy grid in Mexico. The Dakota Access Pipeline is also set to carry oil that is they get through fracking, of course, but in the northern U.S. From North Dakota's the Bakken Shale Formation. All of this is a piece, but the financial architecture underlying all of this is a dark and murky business. To hear to enlighten that is Steve Horn joining us again from the Smog Blog. Steve, welcome back.
Good to be back on. Thanks for having me, Chris.
We're really glad to have you on here. This was another extraordinary story from the Smog Block. The Comanche Nation, headquartered in the southwestern part of Oklahoma, was removed from Texas in the aftermath of the Comanche Wars. All of this, it's interesting with all of this, Dakota Pipeline, Access Pipeline, all of it, the location and the history and the current events have become one entity. Can you talk a little bit, though, about how these two pipelines, the additional pipelines, where oil is actually flowing right now, even as we speak? How did that happen? How did that get passed?
Well, yeah. So this debate over these other pipelines that are owned by the same company, Energy Transfer Partners, Comanche Trail and Trans-Pecos. At one point, probably, you know, three or four months ago, they were on par with being, at least people who followed this stuff, about as well known as Dakota Access before Dakota Access became a national issue. So down in Texas, there was a decent fight against both of these pipelines, not anywhere near the scale of the Dakota Access Pipeline, and no tribal involvement that I know of, even though one of them is named after, in some way, you know, the, at least the nomenclature for Comanche, that's the name of the tribe. But these pipelines were kind of quietly permitted through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and they got a presidential permit because they crossed the U.S.-Mexico border, so the same type of permit you need for the Keystone XL, for example, that crossed the Canada, or that was supposed to cross the U.S.-Canada border. So they both got that permit, and that was happening sort of concurrently with as Dakota Access really exploded as a topic of interest for the environmental community.
Nope.
Just as importantly, while that was going on this summer, both of those things, there was something formed called the U.S.-Mexico Energy Business Council by several U.S. agencies. But then I really think that this is the biggest kind of, I sort of buried the lead on the story, but it's a huge detail. It's kind of located in the middle of the story, but this is an industry-loaded council or panel that was created by the Obama administration, which includes many of the same companies that on the panel to talk about the future of U.S. energy business.
Oh, there's Halliburton is there, the big players.
Yep.
And, could you take us through some of those names on the this?
Yeah, so it's 10 members. You mentioned Halliburton. The Halliburton guy in particular, he's an actual lobbyist. His name is Robert Bob Morin. Everyone else is executive level of companies. For example, that the president of Sempra Energy Mexico, or the CFO of Sempra Energy Mexico, is involved on this council. Someone from GE Energy is involved. You know, these are all executive level people, so they're not just like low level employees. Now, that's written within the sort of the bylaws of the creation of this commission, is that it would be executives and CEOs and stuff of companies. And so it's important because these pipelines are sort of symbolic of the future of U.S.-Mexico business relations. The Comanche Trail and Trans-Pico, which will carry gas obtained from fracking in the Permian Basin across the border. There's Sempra, for example, who was on the panel, their CFO of their Mexico subsidiary. They have lots of pipelines planned in Mexico. They have LNG, liquefied natural gas export terminal planned in the west coast of Mexico near Baja California. So a lot of stuff is going down, going on down in the U.S.-Mexico border region with, as of 2013, going forward, because Mexico privatized its oil and gas industry with pressure from the United States and the State Department to open it up to international companies like the ones represented on this panel. So they had constitutional reforms, which opened it up beyond just their state-owned company, Pemex or Petróleos Mexicanos. So this has really been an underreported story for years. Just this particular example really helped draw the parallel. You see energy transfer partners still involved. You know, so there's a lot going on.
It seems, too, that in the case of the energy, the U.S.-Mexico Energy Business Council, that the dealings between the U.S. and Mexico, in this case, the line between private private interests and governmental interests, public interest, that line seems to have become rather rather transparent, and
that's a really
troubling thing. It's a collusion between.
It is exactly, yeah. This is the private, you know, this is the private sector, the, you know, huge multinational corporations. They are the government in this case.
On that note, we've got to go out to the membership room. I want to get back to this story very soon, as soon as tomorrow. But right now, we are in membership drive. We are coming up on the end of membership drive, and we have got friends, volunteers, members out there in the membership room ready to take your calls and to tell you all about how you can be part of making this kind of news happen. As Steve Horn, wonderful, consistently terrific guest, as Steve Horn says, that we cannot afford right now to let any kind of any opportunity go past. If we have an opportunity to make a difference right now, this is disappearing fast. There are more and more signs that government and private industry.
Chris, you're absolutely right. This is a critical moment in history, and this is a critical moment for people to call 877-500-5266, because it is through the auspices of independent media, it is through the auspices of independent, defiant, and radical community radio that we can keep bringing you these stories, these truths, these we can inform each other through the people's airwaves. It is vital that you support that effort right now at 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266.
Opportunity knocking.
That's right. Don't let opportunity go unanswered.
I think opportunity is, well, let's see if opportunity can knock again.
Oh, there we go.
Hi, I'm Opportunity here. I'd like you to join KBOO. That's the Opportunity Fairy. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, and now's the time to do it because you can. How about pulling over and calling us? And I'd be interested to know where you pulled over from.
Well,
I think it'd be great to know that. But call 877-500-5266 when you're safe and join up, won't you? What were you saying?
Yeah. Join up. Like David from Woodland, like Ray from North Portland, like Don from Northeast Portland. You are ringing Teresa's bells. That's so good. Maya from Northeast Portland. Jeff from Southwest Portland, and Jason from Southeast Portland. Thank you. Thank you one and all for renewing your memberships to KBOO this morning or for joining KBOO for the very first time. If, in fact, you are somebody who has been a member in the past but, in fact, has let your membership lapse, this is a great time to rejoin. 877-500-5266. No time like the present. Let's keep the momentum going. Your response.